Matthew 13, we will read the scripture again. It's worth reading one time and again. I'll let you remain seated this evening. Verse 8 in Matthew, the Bible says, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." Then scroll over to Luke 13, verse number 6. The Bible said, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And we began this morning preaching a message entitled, Reaching Your Full Potential. And I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I want to reach my potential, my full potential in the Lord and what the Lord has called me to be as a believer. We know according to the Word of God, different people had different amounts of faith. Jesus said about some they had little faith, and said about others they had great faith, and said about even some that he had not seen any faith any greater. And so when it comes to our faith and the levels of our faith, that can change and that can be different. And I want my faith to be at the max, at its full potential, because faith moves mountains. Faith moves the heart and hand of God. But not just in our faith. I believe we can have different levels of love and grace toward people and mercy toward people. But in every avenue, in every spectrum of the Christian life, with all the different fruits of the Spirit, and you can read about those in the book of Galatians, it said that if you read it, the fruit of the Spirit is and it lists, and then it says, against which there is no law. There is no end to it. It can keep going and going and going. And so as a believer, we should be growing in the gifts that God has given us. And so as we read here this evening, he said concerning this fig tree that he planted it, and we spoke this morning on the topic and the issue of God didn't plant this, or this in the parable, this farmer didn't plant this tree for firewood or to have a pretty tree in the yard. He planted it for the sole purpose of having fruit and figs growing on that tree. And in the Christian life, God has intentionally, on purpose, sown the good seed of the Word of God into the believer's heart. And we said this morning, the heart is the soil to which the seed is sown. And God on purpose has sown and spent much time and put great effort. God called preachers all over the world to take the Word of God and to sow it into the heart of the believers. Before the foundation of the world, God chose by His own power and His own sovereign will who would be the sowers. And thank the Lord, God gave us the perfect, pure seed of the Word of God for the purpose of getting into the soil or into the heart of a believer, that our faith would grow and that fruit would abound in our lives. And so we looked this morning at some, and just read again this evening, some brought forth, and the farmer came and said, it's time to cut this tree down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's here for no meaning. It's just taking up room. And this man had patience, and he had long suffering, and he saw something and was willing. Listen, this is the message tonight. He was willing to go further. He was willing to wait longer. He was willing to go past the first impression and say, I'm willing to do what it takes to cultivate and to dig and to dung and to make and give it another chance, give it another year. And ain't you glad God don't come your way and come my way and say, well, I don't see any fruit and there's nothing being produced. And after all I've done to sow into the life of this believer and to pour myself and to give and give and give, there's nothing in return. And God would have every right to say, cut it down and throw it and cast it into the fire because it's producing nothing. But ain't you glad we got a God who's long-suffering and patient and willing to wait and willing to work in your life and in mine to help us to produce more fruit. And so I want to look at this parable again and highlight the facts that God will and His desire for us is to reach our full potential. That ought to be the desire of every Christian to not just settle in. And I'm scared and I'm troubled that in the day and hour we're living that it's become commonplace just to settle. Just to be at ease in Zion. That ain't the heart of God. And it shouldn't be the heart of believers. The Bible said in John 10, we read this morning, it's worth reading again, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So every Christian can reach their full potential by understanding the following truths. There's your preposition and transition statement. Brother J.D. and Brother Alex are learning in Bible college how to put a sermon together. And J.D. said, I picked up on that transition statement, that proposition. We looked this morning at the farmer's plan and then the furnishings provided. And then we started looking at the fruit produced, and that's where we'll spend the rest of the evening this evening. The fruit produced. Verse 23 said, which also beareth fruit. This fig tree was not producing figs. It was not doing that it was planted to do. It was not serving the purpose that it was planted for. And we as Christians, the sole purpose is for us to bear fruit. Otherwise, why would God have left us in this God-forsaken world, in this sin-cursed world? Why would God leave us here if not for the purpose, I mean the sole purpose, of bearing fruit so that others could come and be ministered to from our life and to feed from and to take from and to have their thirst quenched from the fruit that's coming from our tree? Spiritually speaking, God would take us on to heaven. There'd be no other reason. Some of the fruit that we was here left to produce that others could partake is to share and to sow the gospel, to minister to those who are down and out. And so this fig tree was not producing figs. And we said this morning, it ain't too much to ask for a fig tree to produce figs. And it ain't too much to ask for a Christian and for God to expect the believer and the child of God to produce fruit. The whole point and plan of God, the whole purpose of God, is that we as believers have something more than what we need. I'm going to tell you, that's a selfish life to live. It's just to be worried about self-preservation. Just enough to get me by. Just enough to make sure I have enough to eat. The whole point is that we would have a source that would be plentiful and bountiful that others could come, that others could partake. And I do want to read these verses again. We read them this morning. I am, John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. I want you to hear these words, Jesus speaking. It is so direct and to the point of what we're dealing with concerning fruit and where it comes from and how that we produce it and the consequences if we don't. This is not some small thing in the mind of God. He keeps repeating the danger of not producing. And so he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's willing to go to work on us. Brother Jimmy, God's willing to whittle us down. God's willing to cut us back. He's willing to put us through pain. I'll say more about that in a minute. He's willing to let us suffer, Brother Jeff, that we would produce more. Now, any father that loves their children don't like to see their children suffer. Any parent, any loving father don't like to see their child go through and have to endure pain. So it says a lot of how important this is to God that he would be willing to put us through pain. I mean agonizing pain. To let us suffer. That's how important it is to God. And we shouldn't belittle this thing or put it on the back shelf. This thing of producing fruit is a major, major priority in the life of a believer. He goes on to say that he would purge it, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and that deals with the issue of settling where we are and settling on what we got. God said, I will put you through pain. I will turn the temperature up. I will go to work on you even in the area of pain that you will not settle, but that you'll produce more. That, in other words, what God said, that you will reach your full potential. God said, I could leave you in a life of ease. I could leave you in a place that's comfortable, but I'm not willing to do that. I'm willing to go through the hardships, and I'm willing to suffer with you. Because any father that loves their child, when they suffer, the father suffers. When they have to go through pain, listen, I still remember and have some of the terrible memories of when Ellie was a baby, and she was going through some physical issues at the time we thought were major. She would pass out when we would whoop her, which she needed and still does. She was just little. And if anything would upset her, she would go to cry. And when she would cry, she'd go back and you could just see it. And that fear would hit her eyes. You could see it. And she'd just go back and couldn't get her breath. And she would pass out and even go into seizures. And boy, that being your little baby, as a father, I wanted to fix that. And you know what my remedy was? Don't upset her. Don't whoop her. I told her, don't you whoop her. Don't you, if she wants something, give it to her. That's what's wrong with her. My point being, I suffered. It was painful for me to see her in pain. And if me being an earthly father feels that way, how much more does our heavenly father? But yet he's willing to put us through the pain and go through it with us. Jesus, what did Jesus say? I'm touched by the feelings of their infirmities. So when we suffer, he suffers, and he said, I'm willing to suffer with you that you would reach your full potential. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. I'm not going to preach on that right now, but I just simply say this. We will never reach our full potential outside of a relationship and close fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You cannot produce it. We cannot duplicate it. There is no hybrid fruit. I know we're living in a day and an hour where the government's bought up all the natural organic seed. And y'all know what I'm talking about? When you go to buy your seed for your garden, which is coming up soon, Just notice about everything you buy, if not everything. And I remember years ago when people were saying it, and farmers were saving their seeds. And the government has bought them all up, the natural seeds, and now all that we eat is hybrid. All that we grow is hybrid. In the spiritual realm, there's no such thing as a hybrid. We can't duplicate. We can't make a mixture of our own goodwill and our own spirit. We can't. No, if we're going to produce fruit, it's going to be the fruit that is the fruit of the Spirit, which only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. Period. Ain't no hybrid. And so, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Again, I'm not going to preach on this verse, but just hit it and move. The Bible says over and over, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know how Jesus proved to the Father that he loved him? He kept his commandments. And we can sing and we can say all the day long, oh, how I love Jesus, and oh, how I love Jesus. But listen, if we do not the things that he commands us, if we just say it and don't live it, we are proving that we have a good language and a good lingo, but not the lifestyle to back it up, which means our love is nowhere near what we say it is. Amen. If there's no fruit, there's no root. I'm not going to preach that. We dealt with this morning, but listen. If there's never been any fruit, if there's never been any love and gentleness and patience and long-suffering, fruit of the Spirit, if there's never been any of that, I would check up on whether or not I really got saved. Amen. You say, but I pray. I remember praying, and I remember where I was and what I said. If it did not change you, if it did not make you a new creature, able to produce fruit. You may not be living to your full potential. You may not be producing 100-fold or even 60. You may be producing 30. But if you're saved, there's going to be some fruit. Amen. And so, there were three different percentages or levels of fruit produced. Some 100, some 60, some 30. And I want to look at three ways that separate the 30-fold from the 60 and the 60 from the 100. Number one, if we're going to reach our full potential, there's going to be desire. There's going to be a desire. The problem with producing fruit to the full potential with many, many believers in this day we're living is there's just simply a lack of desire. People are so consumed with living life that we have put God on the back burner and we've settled and we just don't have the desire to be the Christian God has called us to be. Y'all listening? I've been guilty of this and I battle this myself, but we ought to all get honest with God and humble ourselves and realize that the reason I ain't living to my full potential. Quit blaming my brother or my sister. Quit blaming my church. Quit blaming my Sunday school room and my Sunday school teacher. Quit blaming the choir because they didn't live up to and sing as good as. And quit blaming the pulpit or the sower. Hey, the number one reason that we're not living up to full potential is this. We lack a desire.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, why just boil it down to brass tacks and be honest? The reason we're not living to full potential is because we desire something more. I know this is a simple statement, but it's truth. You do what you want to do. You are what you want to be. Because if you wanted something else, if you wanted to be something else, you would. You'd make the arrangements. You would change things. When people really want to lose weight, I don't know why I'm looking at you, Brother Kim. I don't know. I just zoned in on you right there. When people want to lose weight, they put the fork down, they start jogging, they start exercising, and about a week or two in, if you make it that long, your flesh will rise up and demand, and crave food and crave sugar and crave banana pudding. Praise the Lord. You got to make me a whole one. That was one of the best I'd ever eat. Seriously, and I only got a little bitty bit. I was licking a spoon. She was... Jeff, if I was you, I'd be 300 pounds, boy. But your flesh will rise up and it'll say, I want that more than I want to be in a smaller size blue jean. I want that more than I want to be healthy. And ultimately, who wins out is who wants it the most. That's true with a diet. That's true in a relationship. And that's true when it comes to reaching full potential in our spiritual growth and in the area of producing fruit, is if we want to be full potential, if we have a true desire that Lord, I'm getting serious with you. I mean, we've been praying for revival. We've been praying that God would move, and that's going to begin with us getting honest with ourselves and honest with God and saying, I need a deeper desire. I need a more sober and serious desire to be fully used by God and reach my potential. We got to get tired and get sick and tired of just living with less and living less than. We got to get tired of just religion. And we got to get sick of just coming to church and being lukewarm. No, we got to have a desire saying, Lord, if it takes me bending my knee and if it takes me praying and if it takes me putting in some extra time, Lord, I have a real true desire.
Amen.
To be full potential. And when God sees a true desire, I promise you God will honor that. And He'll heal and He'll help. We fail to see the importance of living to our full potential. Listen to Philippians 4:17. Not because I desire a gift, Paul said. It ain't because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. It ain't about getting all the gifts, and it ain't about having all the wonders of life. He said, I desire, I have a true desire to have fruit that will abound. Boy, that's what we need. That's what we need. Listen, Paul didn't lay around. Get this. We're talking about desire. We're talking about what separates those who live with and settle with 30-fold versus those who settle and live with 60 versus those like Paul. I think we could all agree Paul was a 100-fold Christian. You know what Paul did? Paul didn't lay around the house and just wish for fruit. A desire ain't a wish. A desire ain't an imagination. A desire like Paul had, it was a desire that led to determination and dedication.
and was willing to put legs on that desire and get up and go down daily and preach in the temple and go down daily and preach in the synagogues where they would cuss him and throw things at him and put him in jail. He had a desire that led to a dedication, and he went on and he went from house to house and he gave him his life and he gave himself that fruit would abound, and he went all over, three different trips all over Asia Minor, and for 30 plus years he gave himself to the Lord and to the ministry because he had a true desire. And boy, that's what we need. That's what we need. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for the church and for the furtherance of the gospel. People don't reach their full potential because they are satisfied being half grown. A man by the name of Frederick P. Wood said, the will of a man is the deciding factor in everything we do. In every sphere of life, it settles the alternatives. Your will or your desire absolutely matters. Our desire will determine what percentage, what level of fruit. So I know I spent a good bit of time on desire, but it's so important. It's so important. How much time and effort do you spend trying to grow and maximize your potential? I heard a man say this week, he was talking about, he just wrote a book on this, and he built a very successful business, and he's been in it like 30 years and multimillionaire. But then he's wrote a book, and he spent much of the last 20 years training young people who didn't go to college or who didn't make it in the normal way of that are being told to them. And he come up with a system, and he done all this study and statistics on just what a person's desire is. And he would sit down with these young people and say, before you just launch out into college and waste a bunch of time and waste a bunch of money and effort, he said, what do you desire? Write down on a piece of paper, what kind of house do you want to live in? What kind of car do you want to drive? Well, where do you like? And got specific on what the people wanted, what these young people desired. And then he would take that and write out a formula and write out goals on paper of what do you want, and then accomplish these goals and work toward meeting these goals. Do you realize like only 4 out of 100 people ever write down a goal? Like 7 out of 100 only have it in their mind and detail what their goal is. But he said those that he would sit down and get them to write a goal and get them to think about and articulate and put to mind and then put to paper what they wanted and what their desire was and what their goal was, then he would let them and teach them how to work toward accomplishing that one goal. And I mean, simple stuff like paying off a credit card. And a simple goal like paying off your this bill or that bill, purchasing a car. And he said after he would get them started and trained of how to write a goal down, detail it, and then work toward a small, simple goal, after they reached 2 simple goals, he never had to teach them another thing. Because it created such a hunger and thirst in them and showed them how successful they could be just by simply articulating and writing down and having some control in how their life was lived rather than just haphazard and just hoping and landing from Plinko chips through life. No, and if that works in the business world and that works in the world, it works in the life of a believer. We should have a desire, and we should take time to think about what we want, to think about how we grow, to think about how we go forward and reach full potential. And don't start out saying, I'm going to pray 100 hours this week. Small, simple. Say, I'm going to get faithful to church. There ain't nobody in here. Nobody in here. If your job don't prohibit or some medical major thing, can't be here faithfully to church. That's small. That's simple. There ain't nobody in here. that can't start and say, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I ain't promising I'll read a chapter. I ain't promising I'll read a book. But I'm at least going to open it. And if I don't get but a two or three verses of truth in me, I'm going to start doing it every day. You can do that. That's small. There ain't a person in here that can't write down, this is my goal, that I have a prayer life. Amen. You ain't got to pray 10 minutes a day. Now, that don't seem like a gigantic bunch, but you'd be amazed. You know what the average time that a Christian prays a day? Less than a minute. That's a fact. And reading their Bibles, less than that. That's small, simple things. But listen, I thought about this as I was listening to this man talking about business and how to grow business. Do you know what? We had 114 people here this morning in the building. There was others over there. But that was good. That was good. But you know what I desire? I desire that our church grow. Now, not so we can brag and gloat and we no, but for the glory of God. So, you know what I'm gonna start doing? I've written that down. That's a goal of mine, that our church grow, that baptismal pool have to be filled and sinners be. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna start working toward reaching that simple small goal. I ain't saying we're gonna bust a 500 people by next month. I ain't saying that. I'm saying we can grow if we can bring one more in this section, if we can bring two or three more in this section, if we can get one more family over here, slowly but surely we can check that goal off. Slowly but surely, when we preach the Word of God and give the gospel is, not maybe, not might, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when salvation comes, baptism follows. Simple, small goals that can be accomplished that begin with a desire. How much time and effort do we spend trying to reach full potential? Just add a little to that. Whatever you're doing now, increase it a little. I ain't asking you to double your faith promise this month. I'm not asking, and God ain't asking some exorbitant amount for you to, but every one of us can do a little more than what we're doing. I'm not talking about giving, I'm talking about spiritually. Every one of us can do our part to grow this church. How many people did you invite last week? Don't you think, I'm being honest, don't you think that if more than five of us invite somebody, it will greatly improve our chances of growing if all of us just invite somebody? You ain't got to go on a bus route. Yeah, you ain't got to go out and preach on the street, but you work with people who ain't churched. You have family that ain't churched. You pass people. You sit down and eat with waitresses. Everybody here can do their part small and just invite people. That's how you grow. Amen. All right. We've got to hurry. Do you really want to reach full potential? Do you really desire to be all that God wants for you? When our desire matches God's desire, we will grow and produce a hundredfold. Period. It ain't a lack on God's desire. God desires it. Do you want to reach full potential, or are you satisfied with one fig on your tree? This is the day and hour we live. Hey, y'all come here. Let me take this selfie of my fig. I got one. Woo! Let me get a picture of this. I got, y'all see my luscious, lumpy fig? When we're proud of one, when we're supposed to have a tree full, we're proud of one that we can enjoy, when the whole point of it is to have enough that everybody can enjoy, that others can come. So, not only the desire, and we're coming in, but this is important. Not only the desire. I'm talking about what separates and what changes and makes the difference between 30, 60, and 100. First is desire. Second is right in the text, digging. It's going to take some effort. Luke 13:8, and he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. The digging process, listen, is extremely, extremely uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable thing to let God come into your life and take the shovel of heaven and start scooping around that good padded soil around your heart. Things that we've got comfortable with. Things that we've allowed to settle. Things that we've allowed not to be disturbed in a long time. God said there needs to be some digging done in that area. And I'll take the shovel of heaven and I will come down to that soil and I will dig that soil and I will shove the shovel down in that soil and I will turn it over and I'll flip it and I'll disturb it. And when I'm through digging, there'll be way more fruit. Amen. We don't like it. It ain't comfortable. It ain't comfortable at all, but it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. This is where God takes our security blanket and rips it. This sometimes, in order for us to reach our full potential, God has to do some digging. Are you listening? Digging around the fig tree was disruptive. It was deliberate by God, and it was disconcerting. God takes his shovel and digs down deep into the lives of his children and turns things over and disrupts them and turns them upside down. This is what happened in the life of Moses at the burning bush. Moses, you remember, they were three different categories of his life. 40 years he lived here, and he got into a rut, and he got into a routine, and there Moses was just living his life like it had been being lived for 40 years. And had Moses stayed there, had God not brought the shovel of heaven and come down to Moses on that road when he saw the burning bush, God came down and said, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to dig up some soil that's been comfortably seeded and settled. And God come down into the life of Moses and said, there's got to be a change. If you're going to reach your full potential, I'm going to have to get involved deliberately and do some digging in your life. And I'm going to have to turn some things over and I'm going to have to rearrange some things. And God came to Moses and changed up his routine and got him out of the rut that he was in. And that 40-year period radically changed from there, and he went on another 40 years producing way more fruit. Amen. All because God came to him deliberately and dug in and was willing to turn some things over. Same thing happened to Nehemiah, remember? Nehemiah was a cupbearer. That ain't too bad of a job. You know who he was bearing the cup for? The king. Don't miss this point. Nehemiah was doing his thing, just like we are, living our life, doing our thing. It could have been better. He was in captivity, but it still wasn't that bad. He was a cupbearer for the king. Living his life, doing his thing, until Nehemiah chapter 1. And God brought out the shovel. Listen. And Nehemiah gets the report that the walls have been tumbled and the walls had been broken down and the gates were burned with fire. And all of a sudden, his whole world was turned upside down. And the cupbearer became, overnight, the cupbearer became an engineer on the wall. He wasn't living to his full potential, bearing the cup for the king. God said, I'm going to come getting involved, and I'm going to let him hear and let him see, and I'm going to send messengers to him and let him know that his hometown, where he lived and where he loved, and his people, that the walls have been broken down and that the gates have been burned with fire. And God said, I'm going to stick my shovel in, and I'm going to turn some soil, and I'm going to intervene on purpose, deliberately, and dig in the life of Nehemiah, because he's not living up to his full potential. Even though he's in the presence of a king, he's not in the presence of the king. And God said, I want him to live more. I want him to go, instead of bearing a cup for the king, I want him to get on the wall and preach the word and have a shovel in one hand and a trowel in the other and build for the glory of God. And he went from being a cupbearer for one to being an engineer and a leader of a whole host of people. I'd say that was more potential than what he had. And it's all because God was willing to do some digging. He's now leading a large crew to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates, to work and to worship and even to go to war. How many be honest this evening and say, my life ain't perfect. I'm even in some captivity and bondage in some areas of my life. But I know deep down there's got to be more. There's got to be more. Now, I'm here to tell you they are. You have not reached your potential. God has more for you. God has more for your family. And as a pastor of this church, I will boldly declare this evening, God has more for our church. And we got to get to a place where we'll say, God, pull the shovel out. I'm willing, as uncomfortable as it may be, go ahead and do some digging in my life. Turn some things over. Oh God, turn the soil over. Turn this soul. Turn my heart over so that I can reach my potential. There was people in Nehemiah's life that needed him way more than the king needed a cupbearer. There's people in your life that needs a leader who will get on the wall and build. There's people in your life that if you don't lead and you don't rise and live to your full potential, they will not get the help that they need. Because you're supposed to be the tree producing fruit. And when it's bare, listen, God can take out the shovel. And you say, that ain't comfortable. And it ain't. Get this, please get this. As uncomfortable as the shovel is way more comfortable than the alternative. What's the only alternative? God's got a chainsaw. And when there's no fruit, and when we won't allow the shovel, when we won't allow God, and we say, oh God, no, don't dig in my life. God, no, don't prick and pry in my life. God said, okay. But there ain't but one alternative, and that is for me to cut you down and cast you aside and reckon you to be useless. Why cumbereth the ground? Why wasting space? This happened, listen, we mentioned Moses and Nehemiah, but we could go on and on, over and over and over, throughout the Word of God, to places and people, God intervened and interjected himself on purpose in people's lives and said, you're not on this course, on this trajectory, you're not going to reach your full potential. And God began digging. And God changed the whole outlook of people's lives because he was willing to intervene and dig. Then, finally, we're about done. Not only was there a desire, and a desire is what begins determining whether you'll be a 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. If you don't have any desire, if your desire don't change, your fold of fruit won't change. You're not going to get to a place, and I'm not going to get to a place of saying, oh God, pull the shovel out in my life, if there's no desire. We'll never get to the place of saying, dig on me, Lord, dig around my soul, if it don't begin with a desire. We got to want it. We got to want it. So the desire, then the digging. If God don't dig, your percentage ain't going to change. If God don't dig, you're going to remain what you are, where you are. And all you are is all you ever going to be. God ain't okay with that, and you shouldn't be either. Then finally, the dunging. What a way to close. The dunging. Yeah, you heard it right. It's right there in your Bible. Verse 8. The last part of the verse said, and dung it. After the digging, God said, that ain't enough. It ain't enough for me to make you uncomfortable. There's some areas that digging ain't enough. There's some areas of your life I'm going to have to dig, and I'm going to have to turn things over. But if you want to reach full potential, I'm going to have to insert and introduce in your life some stinky things, some things that just smell bad. This fertilizer, but like today, we can go down to Joe's pack a tire shop, or we can go to Lowe's or Home Depot and we can buy some fertilizer, and it don't even smell all that bad. It don't even look all that bad. You can grab it with your hands. But these Bible days, this was the real deal, brother. This stuff smelt. This stuff come right out of the animal. This stuff was not the cleanest stuff. It stunk. But it was necessary. In order for that fruit to reach its potential, in order for that fig tree to produce and blossom out and to be bountiful with fruit, God said, there's got to be desire, and there's got to be digging. But I can't avoid or get around this last part. I'm going to have to put fertilizer. I'm going to have to introduce some things to you that don't smell all that good and don't feel all that good. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's manure. I mean, we can clean it up and say fertilizer, but dung, manure, pretty bad. That's what God used. God might have to put some stink in your life. The point here is God will have to insert the unwanted things. God will have to insert into our lives the undesirable things. The unappealing. I promise you, dung ain't appealing to me, Brother Bobby. I'm not going to go out and just say, ooh, got to have some dung today. No, not appealing. That ain't going to be on my first to grab. It ain't going to be things that I wake up in the morning and say, whew, got to get my dung in today. No. Unappealing. Uninviting. But necessary. Necessary. God said, I'm going to have to add this to your life. Listen. This is what happened to Joseph. Think about this. We're closing, but please get this point. There was a whole lot, and I'm just dung, in the life of Joseph. From the time he was about 17 years old to the time he was about 30, it was dunghill after dunghill, a stinky situation after another one. Unappealing, to say the least. I mean, pretty much from 17 to 30, that's about all Joseph dealt with, was terrible situations, unwanted situations. One stinking situation after another that he felt like he was getting the raw end of the deal. How many Christians quit? How many Christians get bitter on God and say, I ain't doing this no more? You dealt me a bad hand. This was not fair. This was not right. Had Joseph quit when it got stinky? Had Joseph stopped on God when it was unappealing, he would have never reached his potential. And it wasn't just a week or a month. This was 17 plus years of his life, one after another, one letdown after another. And when things get like that in your life, you've got to trust God and the character of God and who He is, that He's doing what's best for you. He's in control. Think about the life of Joseph, the way his brothers treated him, sold him into slavery, lied to their daddy and said he was dead, stole his coat, ripped it up, dipped it in blood, sold him to the Ishmaelites, went to the foreign country, worked as a slave, worked his way through that, then thought he would be done with it then, and then that was just the beginning. Then daily being harassed by Potiphar's wife. Then when he done the right thing and turned his back and ran from that situation, then she lied on him and put him in jail and in prison. Then he got in prison. I'm talking about one stinking situation after another. Then he got in prison and helped men in the prison, the butler, you remember, and helped them while he was there. Then they got out, and if you would think they would ever been somebody they would remember, it had been Joseph. They got out and forgot all about Joseph. I mean, just one letdown after another after another. God had been digging and cultivating a desire in Joseph, and he had applied the dung heap in the life of Joseph time and time again. Don't miss this. It was not for naught. It was for purpose. It was the plan of God. It was, hey, listen, it did not take God by surprise. It was, as a matter of fact, by surprise would be the furthest thing. God was sovereign in His thinking. God was sovereign in his workings. And God was digging and dunging the life of Joseph that he would reach his full potential. And this ain't the end of Joseph, as you know. His life didn't stop in Potiphar's prison. His life didn't stop with his coat of many colors ripped and dipped in blood. No, he went on from there, and he rose up, and it was this same Joseph who saved literally the whole world. God had made him such a fruitful man through these situations that stunk. God built in him such character and such wisdom and such a desire to be fruitful that the whole world, the brothers who had done him wrong, those who had lied on him, those who had done him so terribly and dirty, those same people would have to come to him, bow the knee, and plead for corn and plead for fruit, which he had a plenty, because God had dunged and digged and made of him a man that was so fruitful he could feed the world. I'd say it wasn't for naught. No, same thing happened to Job, you remember? All in a day, a whole bunch of undesirable, unappealing things come to Job. Remember what Job said? When this is over, I shall come forth as gold. It'd been easy for Job to lay down. It'd been easy for Job to say, this stinks. I'm done with it. Wash my hands. Matter of fact, his wife encouraged him. Why don't you just cuss God and die? This stinks. Our life stinks. Can't take this dung anymore. Job said, no. He brought me into this world. He can take me out and still be God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter how bad my life stinks, no matter how many things God's taken from me, God will repay me. And you turn to Job 42:10, and God turned the captivity of Job and give him twice as much as he ever had before. I mean fruitful. Amen. Fruitful. It ain't for nothing. If you're suffering, know God's suffering with you. And he's applying the dung and he's doing the digging. And God don't do you wrong. If he's digging for a reason. If he's dunging for a reason, and it's that you will reach full potential. I close with this. Some people, sadly, will never reach their full potential. Most people, and this is the truth, most people won't reach their full potential outside of a crisis. You know what those two men, Job and Joseph, and I could go through 100 more, including myself. You know what the common thread is? They faced a crisis. They experienced deep digging by the hand and the shovel of God. They smelt the dunging from God. They went through seasons of their life that stunk. Boy, I can identify with that. Some people will never, ever reach full potential apart from the digging and the dunging that's necessary. Crisis. Just simply put, everybody listen and look up here. Look back in your life and look at the hardest times you've ever had. Are you listening? The times, it's true all through the Old Testament, through the Word of God. When Israel would have it easy, they would drift. When it was a bed of roses, they would quit praying. When it was a life of ease, they would go about their own ways. They would build things in the high places, and they would go setting up idols, and they would go drifting from God, and it would take major calamity and major peril, and it would take God coming down and sending the enemy in to overtake them and overthrow them, to drive them back to their heartache, hardship, crisis. And I can speak to you not even about the Scripture and the Old Testament, but I can go through the New Testament and tell you about a man named Paul who said, I would rather suffer that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we can even leave the New Testament. I can tell you about myself personally. The hardest times of my life, the hardest times in my marriage, the hardest time for my family, my hand to heaven, has been the times that God has grown me the most. And my simple plea is this evening, it don't have to be that way. Why not hear God? Why not hear the sower? Why not respond to the message rather than God having to speak louder? Why not respond to a still small voice rather than God having to send lightnings and earthquakes? And you can respond. You can say, Lord, I want to reach full potential. I'm willing to respond to the message you sent to me. You don't have to speak louder. You don't have to get harder. You don't have to even dig any deeper. I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm willing. Here's the soul of my heart. Cultivate it. Do what's necessary. But I'm coming to you tonight with an honest, humble desire that I want to be more tomorrow than I was today. Yeah, amen. That's how you start becoming more fruitful. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Altars are open. The message has been given. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to continue preaching it. If God spoke to you, get up out of your seat. Come down to this altar. Bend your knee. And say, God, I heard it loud and clear. You don't have to speak louder. You don't have to get harsh. Here I am. As people are coming, the piano's about to start. Would you step out and come do business with the Lord? Come on. Come on. Come on. Would you come?
There are trophies.
As she sings,
it'll be
a great time for you and your wife, you and your
success
husband, you and your family.
There to gain.
Come bow. Some say, Lord, we want to live to our fullest. For the glory
to reach
of God.
Earth's highest.
Would you come?
But to count it gain would be
Amen,
my loss.
Amen.
If I lay
Have your way,
down
Lord.
Commitments
Amen.
Cross.
Amen. Come on.
So I lift my eyes
Most to the Most of our church
above,
is coming. What about you?
And serve him with a heart of love.
Yes, Lord.
I just want to please the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be in His will in every way.
Touch us, Lord.
To be lost in His presence.
Have Your way, Lord.
Found
yes.
in His likeness. And hear Him say, well done, son.
Yes. Call on Him. Pray. Pray.
My plans had all been made.
Yes,
since
Lord.
I already cast, the world was at my fingertips. I'd arrived
yes,
at last.
Have Your way, Lord.
But the cry could not
have
be
Your way, Lord.
Pacified.
Speak, Lord.
From a heart about
yes.
to break inside. Then Jesus showed Himself to me and said, just look what You can be.